Amen. Thank you. Thank you, Leon. Yes, amen. Praise the Lord. Good to be here this morning and to come and worship His holy name. And the little time we have left, we look forward to spending as much time as possible. Even when we're gone, we will certainly be back every now and again. Come and hopefully bring you the word and bring you some good news from the other parts of the world. But it's good to be here this morning in the house of the Lord. So this morning, you know, as I prayed and prepared, and the Lord gave me this message to share with us this morning, really a message you might think, you know, this is something you know, but as Christians, I believe it is so important. And I was kind of struggling with the title, really, what I should give it this morning, but just suddenly struck me, really what I want to talk to you about this morning is the Holy Spirit, but the Holy Spirit throughout the ages. And I think as believers, often when we look at the Holy Spirit, we look at Pentecost and the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. But I want to show something to you this morning, the Holy Spirit throughout the ages, and what the Holy Spirit means and what the Lord Jesus really wants for each and every one of us as His children. So really, the first bit of scripture I want you to turn to is John, Gospel of John chapter 14, Gospel of John chapter 14. And this is a very well-known scripture. So John chapter 14, I'll just read a few verses from verse 15 there. It says, "If you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray that God the Father will give you another helper, and he may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. But I know you, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you." Jump to verse 25. "These things I have spoken to you while being present with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring you to remembrance and all that I have said." And just other scriptures, I'll just read them quickly to you in the New Testament about it. John 15, 26. "But when the Helper comes, whom I will send from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me." John 16. "But now I go away to him who sent me, and no one of you asks me, where are you going? But because I've said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you." So yeah, Jesus makes it pretty clear that he's going to send his Holy Spirit to his church, he was talking to his disciples, and he's telling them, it is advantageous for you. It is better that I go, because if I don't go, I can't send him. Okay? And so we know Jesus told them, and a little bit later on, he told them, he says, you need to go, and you need to wait and tarry in Jerusalem until you receive power when the Holy Spirit will come upon you. And we know that was filled on the day of Pentecost, which we as Christians, and especially as evangelicals and Pentecostals, we believe that, and that is what we see and what we know. Probably the single, besides what Jesus did on the cross in dying for our sins, it is probably the most powerful thing that has ever happened to the church, and that was the outpouring of His Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. We know very well what happened there and the transformation that took place in His disciples, Peter, John, and all these that were there, how they were transformed in an instant after this had happened. But then the question is this something new? Is this something new that has never happened before to the church? Did the Holy Spirit, is this the first time we ever see or hear of the work of the Holy Spirit? Well, the simple answer is no. Not by any stretch of the imagination. The Holy Spirit has always been there. The Spirit of God. Even in the Old Testament, we read many times how God would pour out His Spirit upon people and they would be able to do His work. So just to prove it, I want you to turn to Zechariah chapter 4, which is the second last book, I think it is, of the Old Testament. It's just before Malachi. So Zechariah chapter 4. Zechariah chapter 4, and just read a few verses there from verse 1. Now the angel who talked with me came back and wakened me as a man who is wakened out of sleep. And he said to me, "What do you see?" So I said, "I'm looking, and there is a lampstand of solid gold and a bowl on top of it. And on the stand, seven lamps with seven pipes to the seven lamps. And two olive trees are by it, one on the right, two of the bowl, and the other is on the left." So I answered and spoke to the angel who talked with me, saying, "What are these, my Lord?" And the angel who talked with me answered and said, "Do you not know what these are?" And I said, "No, my Lord." So he answered and said to me, "This is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, not by power, not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord." So here we see in the old covenant, in the Old Testament, the Lord is speaking to his prophet and saying to him, it's not by might, it's not by power, but it is by my spirit. Yet we know full know that the Holy Spirit had not yet been poured out onto the church of God, because that only happened on the day of Pentecost. It couldn't have happened, because we know the Bible clearly tells us, it's in John 7 verses 38 and 39, just for your reference, where Jesus said, he said, "Who believes in me, as the scripture said, out of his heart will flow living waters." Then it says, "But he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing would receive, for the Holy Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified." But here we see in the Old Testament, God clearly says to Zerubbabel, he says, it's not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. And right throughout the Old Testament, we see that God gave his Holy Spirit to his servants, that they were able to be able to do the work which he had called from him. In matter of fact, right in the very beginning, right in the first two verses of the Bible, we read these words: "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was without form and was void and darkness and was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters." So right from all eternity, obviously, his Spirit has always been there. And his Spirit has been there to help and to guide and to lead us. And so we see that many times God would give his Holy Spirit. We think of Saul before he fell. Saul, when he became the first king of Israel, Samuel spoke to him. And in 1 Samuel 10 verse 6, Samuel said to him, he said, "The Spirit of the Lord will come upon you and you will prophesy with him." That was the other prophets. "And you would be turned into another man." He tells Saul, this is long, long, long before Jesus even came. He says, "The Spirit of God will come upon you. And you'll be able to prophesy just as these prophets, and you'll be turned to another man." We think of the time in Exodus, the time when they were preparing the tabernacle, and they had to make all these instruments very specifically to the exact detail which God had sent. God had told them to do. It couldn't just make something more or less like you think it should be. God required it to be exactly as he did. So God in Exodus 31 verses 1 to 5, you can check that out. It says that the Lord spoke to Moses and he said, "See, I have called Bezaziel, the son of Uri." And he says, "And I filled him with the Spirit of God in wisdom and understanding and in knowledge, in all manner of workmanship to design artistic works, in gold, silver, and bronze, in cutting of jewels for the setting, in carving of wood, and in all manner of workmanship." So here, when something so precious had to be made, God sent his Spirit and poured out upon this young man and gave him the ability. He was obviously a skilled man. It wasn't good enough. God sent his Spirit to help him to give that. And so we go right throughout the Old Testament. I'll just read a few of them. Numbers 24 verse 2, Balaam raised up his eyes, saw Israel encamped according to the tribes, and the Spirit of God came upon him. Judges 6:33-34. "But the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon. He blew the trumpets, and the Abrazites gathered behind him." Judges 11:29. "The Spirit of the Lord came upon Jephthah, and he passed through Gilead." 1 Samuel 16:13. Samuel took the horn of oil, anointed him in the midst of his brothers, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. Samuel 19:20. "The Spirit of the Lord came upon the messengers of Saul, and they prophesied." 2 Chronicles 24, the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jazeel, the sons of Zechariah. And so we see many, many more times, I can bring scripture upon scripture upon scripture, showing you that the Holy Spirit has been there throughout the ages. And he would come upon his servants to equip them and to enable them to do what God wanted them to do. For some, it was to give them strength in the case of Samson. It wasn't Samson's muscles that gave him the strength. Yeah, he was a strong guy. But he was no ways he had the ability. When God withdrew his spirit from him, when he had his hair cut, he was as weak as any one of us. Couldn't do anything. But when the Spirit of God was upon him, it was nothing. He took a jawbone. He could slay 1,000 guys. When the Spirit of God came back upon him, when God restored him, he simply took those temple pillars and pushed them. And the whole place collapsed. That's what happened when the strength of come. God gave wisdom to this young man when he had to do all these, make all these fine instruments for the tabernacle. And God would give his spirit as it would come upon his prophets to be able to say, "Thus saith the Lord." So we see right throughout the ages, God's spirit was with them. He was their helper. He was them giving the strength and enabling them to do exactly what he said to Zerubbabel. It's not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit. Even Samson, it wasn't by his might or his power. It was God's spirit that enabled him to do what he could do. That's what he done right throughout the Old Testament. And it's the same today. And so Jesus tells his disciples, they are to wait before they go out, to wait in Jerusalem until the Holy Spirit has come upon them, and then they will be their witnesses. Remember Jesus himself. Before he was baptized, and when he came out the water of baptism, what happened? The Bible says in Luke chapter 3, it says when he was baptized, it says, and the Holy Spirit descended in bodily form like a dove upon him, and a voice of heaven said, my beloved Son, which I am pleased. And then Matthew 4 verse 1 says, then the Holy Spirit came upon him. He was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of God. Jesus did nothing, no miracles at all, until the Holy Spirit came upon him. Think of this for a moment. Was Jesus, did he have the Spirit of God? Of course he did. He was conceived by the Holy Spirit. He's God's Son. He is God. He is equal to God. He had the Holy Spirit with him. He was without sin. But he did nothing until the Holy Spirit came upon him. And then he walked out and the Spirit led him. And we know that Jesus was at the very least, can I say, he was passionate about people understanding that the miracles that he did, even Jesus said it was done through the power of the Holy Spirit. May I remind you of that scripture when the priests and the Pharisees came to him and they saw him do these miracles and casting out demons. And they were muttering amongst themselves. Eventually they said, well, he's done it by this demon Beelzebub. He's doing it through demons. That's how he's doing it. And then Jesus reprimands him and he says, if I cast out demons by Beelzebub, by whom do your sons cast them out? Therefore, you shall be judges. But if I cast demons out by the Spirit of God, surely the kingdom of God has come upon you. And so he warned them. He said, therefore, I say to you, every sin and blasphemy will be forgiven men, but blasphemy against the Spirit will not be forgiven men. Whoever speaks a word against the Son of Man will be forgiven him. But who speaks against the Holy Spirit, he will not be forgiven, neither in this age or the age. Stern warning. Jesus was making there be no misunderstanding that what he was doing by the Holy Spirit of God in him that had come upon him. And that was how he was doing the work. And that's why he said to them, don't you dare. You can say whatever you want about me, but don't you dare blaspheme the Holy Spirit. Because you see, throughout the ages, the Spirit of God has been doing the work. There's no single man, not David, not Moses, not Abraham, not Isaac. Nobody ever can claim that they did what they did in their own strength. Because it's not by might, it's not by power, says the Lord. It is by my Spirit. And even Jesus knew that. And so he said to them, you must understand this one thing. It is the Spirit of God that is moving. And so we see, he tells them that they must get ready in Acts 1 verse 4, that they must go and wait for this outpouring of the Holy Spirit. They must go there and wait. And so he said to them that this promise that they would receive the Holy Spirit when he comes upon them. And they were to wait. But I'm reminded of something else that happened. It's in John chapter 20. Maybe you can just turn there in the Gospel of John chapter 20. John chapter 20, verse 21, I think it is. John chapter 20, look what happens here. Now, this is just after Jesus was resurrected. He'd gone to the cross, died, and he was resurrected. And now this is one of the cases where he appears to them after his resurrection. After he'd even told Martha and Mary to not cling on to him, he goes. And in verse 21, he appears to them and he says to them, he says, peace to you. As the Father has sent me, I will also send you. And when he had said this to them, he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. He said, receive the Holy Spirit. But yet, in Acts 1:4, he tells them to wait until the Holy Spirit comes upon them. But here he breathes on them and says, receive the Holy Spirit. It is no different to us today. God wants us to receive the power of the Holy Spirit just as the early church did. But the question that we have to ask is, do we have the Holy Spirit? And when did we receive the Holy Spirit? When did you receive the Holy Spirit? Do you have the Holy Spirit? Are you a child of God? Well, you see, when he breathed on them, he said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. What was happening there? What was happening? What took place? And you see, many people believe that when you're born again, you receive the Holy Spirit. And you do. They're right. So that's it. Why then is there anything else that has to take place? I've received the Holy Spirit. It suffices. That's enough. And they're correct. For salvation, that is enough. That is all you need. But why does that happen? Why did Jesus have to breathe on them to say, receive the Holy Spirit? Well, it's simple this. It's because the Holy Spirit is our guarantee of salvation. Okay? Now, I'll give you a number of scriptures. You can check it out. Corinthians 1, 2 Corinthians 1, 21. 2 Corinthians 1, 21. It says, now he who establishes us with you in Christ and has anointed us in God, who has also sealed us and given us the Spirit in our hearts as a guarantee. You see, when Jesus said to them, he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit, it was their salvation. You notice he couldn't have done that before he went to the cross, could he? Because he hadn't paid for their sins yet. But now he had. He'd shed his blood on the cross. He said, it is finished. It is done. He'd paid the price. He'd fulfill all the written requirements of the law and everything that was ever written. And the Bible says he nailed it to the cross. He'd made a public spectacle of all the powers and principalities out there. And he's declared victory, even victory over death. And he rose on the third day. And now he says to them, receive the Holy Spirit. He now gives them their salvation. And it's that Holy Spirit that guarantees that. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 5 says this. Now he who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who has also given us the Spirit as a guarantee. In Ephesians 1 verse 13, it says this. In him you have trusted after you heard the word of truth. Do you trust in him? You've heard in him? Do you believe the word of truth? Yes. The gospel of your salvation. If you, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession. That couldn't take place in the Old Testament because Jesus hadn't yet died. And that's why it says in John, where I read earlier, where he says you will have fountains of living waters coming from inside. And the Bible says he was speaking about the Holy Spirit who hadn't come yet. But now that he's come, now that he's paid the price, the Holy Spirit was given, to everyone that believes will receive the Holy Spirit as a guarantee and a seal that you are saved. You're born again. Romans 8, 16 says this, the Spirit of Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Some people often say, I wonder, am I really saved? How do I know that I'm saved? If your spirit within you testifies with the Holy Spirit that you're a child of God, Satan can say whatever he likes because it's signed and sealed by the Holy Spirit, and He is your guarantee until the day that the purchase price, God takes His possession to Him. You know, there's a word in the Psalms that tells us that precious in God's sight is the death of His saints. That's awesome. We often quote that at funerals for those who are saved. But it is indeed precious. Why? Because the purchase has been done. He's now finally got you in His presence. You can be with Him for all eternity. And that purchase is guaranteed by the Holy Spirit. That's what happened when He breathed upon them. When He came and He said to them, this is what you must wait for. Though they had received the Spirit, that was their salvation. They were now ready for something else to happen. Because you see, just purely receiving this, the gift of the Holy Spirit, receiving that sealing or that guarantee of the Holy Spirit, didn't equip them for what was yet to come. Something else had to happen. As it did throughout the Bible, the Holy Spirit of God had to come upon them to enable them to do God's work. Though they were to receive the Holy Spirit that guaranteed their salvation, they had to wait for something else that was to happen. Even Jesus Himself never did anything until the Holy Spirit had come upon Him. So we as believers need to understand this. And we need to know that because God didn't allow them to just go purely as saved people. Can you imagine what would have happened? I mean, imagine Peter. What would a mess he would have got himself into. I mean, he did get himself into a mess, but he certainly knew how to get himself out of it, and he didn't worry about it. The transformation that took place after the Holy Spirit was poured out, even the fact that they already had the Holy Spirit in them, because they had the peace within Him now that they knew who they were. There wasn't a shadow of a doubt of what it was that they were. But now they were to receive this Holy Spirit that would come upon them. The same Holy Spirit that came upon Saul when he prophesied, came upon David, came upon Gideon, came upon Samson, came upon all those people in the Bible, all the prophets, when they boldly stood and did miraculous things. When Moses put his rod on the sea and the sea divided, it wasn't his rod that did it. It wasn't because Moses had big muscles and slapped the sea and it split. No, it was the Spirit of God. It simply blew the sea apart. And so they knew they had to come and they had to receive this. They had to do this. Why? What's the difference then? Why didn't God just do the same thing? Just let the Holy Spirit come and then we all do little things that we have to do. What's the difference between what happened there and what happened in the old covenant? Because it's the same Spirit. It's been there throughout the ages. That's equipping them to do the work. What is the difference? Well, in the Old Testament, we know that He came individually upon David and upon Saul and upon all the others that came as God gave them the ability and wanted them to do His work. His Holy Spirit came and did that for them. But there's something subtly different that takes place. And I think the key is in Peter's message when he preaches to them. The very time he stands up, this guy that's now just received the power that Jesus talked about. And he has this incredible ability to preach like no man has ever preached. And he stands there preaching. And then he says to them, because they couldn't understand what was going on, he said to them, listen, understand what is happening here. This is what the prophet Joel prophesied about. What did he say? He said, in the last days, says God, I will pour out my Spirit on what? On all flesh. You see the difference? In the old covenant, He would pour it out on individuals as they had to do. When they were called by Him, whether it was David that had to go and fight an army, whether it was Samson that had to go smash somebody's jawbone, doesn't matter. The Holy Spirit would come upon them and they would be able to do it. It's not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. But now the prophet Joel, as Peter's quoting, he says, now, this what you're seeing now is what Joel prophesied about, that I will pour my Spirit upon all flesh. Wow. That's something different. That means I can become a Samson. I could. You can do anything if the Holy Spirit comes upon you. You understand? It was given for all flesh, for the Holy Spirit to receive. Hang on a second. Why doesn't everyone then just become a Samson and just sort out this world and take out a big sword and go sort out the mess in the Middle East once and for all? Well, what did he say they must wait for? To receive power when the Holy Spirit would come upon them to do what? To be my witness. That's what he's poured his Holy Spirit upon them for. He gave him the Holy Spirit upon all flesh. Anyone that is now saved, when you're born again, you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, the Holy Spirit is within you, right there, telling you, I can confirm, I can seal, I'm your guarantee, you are a child of God. Don't ever doubt that again. I'll be right there telling you, witnessing to you. When Satan comes and lies to you, I'll be there to tell you, hang on a second, the Word of God says, I'm a child of God. You'll never have to worry about that again in your life. But now you come and you wait upon the Lord. And you ask him, and you now ask for the Holy Spirit to come upon you to do what? To be his witness. That's what they were powered with, to be his witness. And wow, were they a powerful witness. These weren't guys just walking around the streets and saying, hey, have you ever heard about Jesus? These guys that were walking in power. They were walking in the power of the Holy Spirit as they received it. That is what they were supposed to do. Remember what he said in John 14. He said, when the Helper comes, whom I will send from the Father, and you will also bear witness because you have been with me from the beginning. He said, he will convict the world of sin, of righteousness and judgment. But when the Spirit of truth has come, he will guide you in all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority. But over what he hears, he will speak, and he will tell of things to come, and he will glorify me, and take what is mine and declare it to you. All things that the Father has is mine, therefore I say he will take of mine. He will glorify me. The Holy Spirit has come so that we can be witnesses, and the church had to be witness, and the apostles had to be his witnesses to point to Jesus, to glorify him. He told them, he will teach you all things. He says, you knew me. I was with you. But now the Holy Spirit will come and teach you. They must have thought when he said that, but you've been teaching us. Why will the Holy Spirit now come and teach us afterwards when we're right here with you? We've been walking with him for 3 years, listening to him teaching, seeing all the mighty miracles that he's done. And now he says, wait until the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and he will teach you all things concerning me, and he will glorify me. The Holy Spirit will point to me. You see, under the old covenant, when the Holy Spirit came upon a person, it was to do a specific job, whether it was to do those fine things they had to make for the temple, whether it was for them to prophesy, whether it was for them to defeat an enemy. Sometimes these guys would defeat an enemy without lifting up a sword or firing an arrow. As they moved, as the Holy Spirit, then we read about Gideon, who just blew the trumpets and victory came. They just smashed the bowls and victory. Why? It wasn't because of that, because of the Holy Spirit. But here we see something different. Here he comes and he empowers them to be his witness. And he tells them exactly what the Holy Spirit's going to do. He's going to teach you more and more about him. In other words, the Holy Spirit was coming to show them who he really is. and to draw them close to him like they've never been before. You see, when I ask a question, did they know him? Of course they knew. Jesus said it himself. He knew me. They walked with him for 3 years. But you know what? I see something strange in John 14. It says, he asked them the question. He says this. He said, if you had known me. Because they asked him about the Father. And then he said, if you had known me, you would know my Father also. From now on, you know him and you have seen him. And Philip said, Lord, show us the Father and it'll be sufficient for us. And Jesus said, but I've been with you so long. And yet you have not known me. He who has seen the Father has seen me. So how can you say, show us the Father? Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me then just for the work's sake. You see, they didn't fully understand yet who he was. Yes, they knew him, but they didn't understand who he was. I'm pretty sure if I go out there and I ask, especially in the UK, if I ask anyone, do you know Jesus? They'll say, yeah, of course I do. Of course I do. We celebrate Christmas. What are you talking about? He's the guy we celebrate on Christmas. Thank goodness for him. We have Christmas off. Yes, they know Jesus. These guys knew Jesus. But now, the Holy Spirit's come upon them. And there's a transformation that takes place here. Something that I see so differently. 1 minute, they're not even sure. They're still asking, show us, show us. A little bit doubting. And Jesus explains to them, well, look, even if you see me, you've seen the Father. They didn't quite get it. But a little bit later, after they have received this outpouring of the Holy Spirit, as the Holy Spirit came and sat upon them, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit within them, we see a different Peter. He goes out. You know, him and John, and they walk out and they see this lame guy at the temple. And they say, you know, we don't have silver and gold, but what we have in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. So this guy jumps up and leaps. You know the story, leaping and all sing the song in Sunday school. And of course, all the guys around, the Pharisees and those guys, they're very shocked. They can't deny it. They see it with their own arms, in their own eyes, what has just happened. And so they ask him, how did you do this, Peter? Come on, tell us. And he gets extremely angry at them. And he gives them this big lecture and he says, listen, the very person you have crucified is who's doing this. Don't think for one moment that we did this. We didn't. It's him that's done it. And he says, it is in his name, through faith in his name, that has made this man strong, whom you see. Yes, faith which comes through him and given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. Suddenly, Peter knew who Jesus was. There was something profoundly different because now the Holy Spirit had revealed to them who he really is. And the one who was within him now, the Holy Spirit, could testify who he is. And so what happens is as the Holy Spirit starts teaching them who Jesus is and their spiritual eyes are opened and they no longer see him as Jesus, the man who walked amongst them, but they realized who he is. He is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. They realize who he is. And suddenly within them, they have this passion relationship with Jesus they never had on earth. That is the work of the Holy Spirit, my friend. When you receive him, when you're born again, it's enough to seal your salvation. But when you receive the Holy Spirit, when he's come upon you, the Holy Spirit's going to teach you things about Jesus you never knew. But not just that, he's going to pull you so close to him, into an intimate relationship with him. You know, they were so close to Jesus that the Bible tells us that when Peter was walking and they were bringing the sick to them, and all the sick were being healed, they said they brought those that the very shadow of Peter could simply fall on the sick. And everyone was healed. Well, I can guarantee you, Peter's shadow had no power whatsoever. Peter had no power whatsoever, and he told them, try to get this through to him. But Peter knew, it's not by might, it's not by power, but it's by his Spirit that these things were being done. It was by His Spirit that He had done. That was happening. You see, the Holy Spirit has come, and He wants us to come. And when you're born again, you've received that gift of salvation. The next step is then to wait upon the Holy Spirit, to receive that. And I want to encourage you this morning, if you've never been to it, a lot of people are confused by that. They think you've received the Holy Spirit when you're born again and that's it. Well, that's the beginning. But you cannot be a true witness of Jesus Christ if you haven't to that point come where you've allowed the Holy Spirit to come upon you. Remember what happened when the Holy Spirit was poured out upon them. Remember what happened in Acts chapter 1. It says they were all gathered together, weren't they? They were having a prayer meeting or whatever they were doing, they're sitting. And the Bible says suddenly there was a sound like a mighty rushing wind as the Holy Spirit filled that place. But then what happened? It says, and then He divided into tongues of fire, isn't it? And each one of them, a tongue of fire went and sat on their head. And that tells me that it's individual. You see, the Holy Spirit of God's been poured out upon the church already. It's there for everyone who receives. The Holy Spirit will instantly be there to sign and seal your redemption for salvation, your guarantee. He is there. But then the Holy Spirit wants to come, and He wants you to receive it individually, as they did, as that tongue of fire came and sat on each one of them individually. They were changed. And they weren't changed into something that was now to go out and they became super strong or whatever the case may be. But one thing I do realize, that change took place. And as Jesus said would happen, He will teach you about Me. And He will glorify Me. Everything they were doing was screaming, this is Jesus. This is glorifying Jesus. You know, sometimes we get confused. I think in our times that we live, because of so much that's been made about the Holy Spirit, I often say, you know, when you talk about God the Father, there's no misunderstanding. Whether I talk to a Catholic or whether I talk to, even when I talk to an unbeliever, if I talk about God, they know exactly who I'm talking about. No one has any qualms with about who God is. And when I talk about Jesus, we all understand who Jesus is. Whether you're Pentecostal, whether you're Reformed, whether you're Catholic, doesn't matter. Even if you're an unbeliever, you know who Jesus is. But man, when it comes to the Holy Spirit, have we got different views? It is astounding how the Holy Spirit has divided the church. Not the Holy Spirit's divided. People has divided because of their opinions of who the Holy Spirit is. And who He is, what He is, and what He does. Yet we see throughout the ages, He's always been there. The same Spirit that came upon them, that made them these powerful witnesses, the same Spirit that came upon the men of the old covenant and the ladies. They were prophetesses as well. Don't forget them, who prophesied just as powerfully as any other prophet. Not because they were wonderful ladies, because they too received the power as the Holy Spirit came upon them. It's the same Spirit. And so we see that Holy Spirit which is given draws them to Him. The work of that Holy Spirit is to glorify Him. And what we see today is something far different. We often see that places will proclaim, you know, there's a move of the Holy Spirit. All these things are happening. And you might go there because you're inquisitive or you want to see or maybe you want to partake of this. And you go there and you leave with a feeling, is this real? Is this really the Holy Spirit? Is this, you're not sure? I can guarantee if you're not sure, it's not. Because I can tell you without a shadow of a doubt that wherever the early church went, they knew exactly who it was. There was no messing around. They knew exactly where the power came from. It wasn't Peter, it wasn't John, it wasn't Paul, it wasn't Timothy, it wasn't any one of the disciples that had this power. It was through the Holy Spirit, just as God said, not by might, not by power, but by My Spirit, says the Lord. And everything pointed to Jesus. Jesus was glorified in everything. My question is simply this. If ever you go, if you hear things out there, you want to go and see what's happening, because maybe you've heard of all the things that is happening. You've been pulled to these things and they look so attractive when you hear what they say. Just ask yourself, is Jesus being glorified to the point as they were in the old, as they were with God's apostles and his disciples. You see, Jesus was so important to them, they really didn't care much about their own lives. None of them cared being put into prison. None of them cared whether they lived or died. They simply didn't care because they were so close to Jesus because of the work of the Holy Spirit. They knew this is nothing. This wasn't Peter building a ministry. This wasn't John building a ministry. It wasn't Paul building, you know, Paul, formerly known as Saul, International Ministries Fellowship Committee, whatever you want to call it. This was the Holy Spirit at work in the church of God. And this is what he wants to do to each one of us individually, that we can be powerful witnesses to him wherever we go in the world. You know, ourselves as well, we go going off to Belgium, as you know, pretty soon, and we don't know what God's plans are there. But all I pray is that God's Holy Spirit will be upon us, that wherever we go, we will be his witness. Why? Because we love him. Because we know him. And I want to know more and more and more and more about him. And the only way I'm going to know it is if I have the Holy Spirit teaching me, guiding me and leading me in the full truth of his word. So if ever you're out there and you come to a place and you're not sure, is this really the Holy Spirit? You might as well get up and walk out. Because if you're doubting, it's not. Why? Because your spirit will witness with his spirit. Your spirit will know that you know that you know. You'll be without a shadow of a doubt. We don't have to go out there and seek. We need to seek what the Lord has for us. He said, come and wait until you receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. So often we do pray for this outpouring of the Holy Spirit to come upon the church of God. And you know, God did pour out his spirit. He did that. He did that at Pentecost. He poured out his spirit. He's right here. Holy Spirit is right here. He's with you. He's within you. That couldn't happen in the old covenant. Jesus had to pay the price first. Had to redeem us. Because the Holy Spirit's not going to reside in a temple. Your body is a temple, the Bible says. That's where he dwells, within you. He's got to clean out the mess first. He's got to purify it with his blood. The temple had to be purified with the blood of lambs. This temple's got to be purified by the blood of the Lamb. And once that's done, the Holy Spirit comes, and then he comes and he resides in you to tell you who you are. I'm a child of God. And then he says, now wait. Once you've received that, now wait. Prepare yourself and now be ready to receive the power as the Holy Spirit comes upon you. The Holy Spirit will now come upon you and overwhelm you. We call it the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Why? Because when you're baptized, you're immersed fully in water, aren't you? Okay? We don't believe in that stuff where they say, ooh, I grew up in a church where they used to say, you're baptized as a child. And I thought, how's that possible? They just took a little drop of water and put it on my head. How's that being baptized? You know, I like eating rusks in South Africa. We have these rusks and you it's no good. I dunk it, you know, in my tea. It's nice. It gets soaked. It gets nice and soft. But it's no good if I take my rusk and I, you know, put a few drops of tea on it. It's not going to make no difference. When we're baptized, we're immersed into him. Completely in him. And so he says, that's what he does. When we're born again and we're baptized in water, we're baptized into Christ. And we receive him and we put on Christ. Now, because we've done that, the next step should happen what happened to Christ. He went through the waters of baptism. He was pure. He was holy. He had no sin. And so when he steps out on the other side, he stands on the other side. He is who he is, the Son of God. The Holy Spirit now descends upon him. And that's what should happen to you and I. Once you've been born again, once you've received that salvation, you've received that assurance of faith, the next step, get baptized. Otherwise, something's missing. You get baptized in water. Not because you get baptized because you're no longer a sinner, because he's redeemed you, because you're ready to be baptized. So you're baptized in him. And now when you're baptized in him, you're a new creation. And that new creation is now fit and ready to receive the Holy Spirit to come upon you, to fully immerse you, to fully envelop you, to give you the power to be his witness. See, we often think that when the Holy Spirit comes, might see all these miracles, and it will do. And the Holy Spirit's done miracles right throughout the ages, right from the very beginning. It was the Holy Spirit that did all these miracles. It wasn't these guys that were written down. Yes, they were the instruments God used. But he makes it very sure, even in the Old Testament, that it's not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. It's his Spirit that does it. But we've got to understand, and this is why the Holy Spirit comes, when he comes upon us in that power and truth to be his witness, the first thing he's going to do is put your focus on Jesus. Put your focus on Jesus and away from yourself. Never ever can we be in a position where God, he can do anything. With the Holy Spirit upon us, anything can happen. Who knows? The Bible clearly says you will lay hands on the sick and they will be healed. And we saw the evidence of that. They spoke and the dead were raised. Doesn't matter what they did. But they did it because they fully understood who Jesus was. They were fully immersed in Jesus. And so wherever they were, it was like Jesus was with them, in them. And everything they did was just the power of his Holy Spirit doing that. It was nothing about them. Nothing. They weren't interested in building their own ministries. They were interested in just spreading the news about Jesus. Being his witness. Telling the world that that man who you crucified, who you nailed to the cross, it is him that has made this man that could never walk in his life, that has made him strong. That man that you crucified, that was hanging on the cross, it is him that has healed that sick person. It is him that has caused the lame to walk, the blind to see, and the deaf to hear. No else. No else. You can't go afterwards and if God does a miracle like that, then go and say, well, we're now going to build this new miracle ministry. We're going to call it the ministries of miracles. No. It's not by might, it's not by power, it's by my Spirit. And the Spirit of God will always point to Jesus and glorify his name. And I'll tell you what, when the Spirit of God moves, there'll be repentance, there'll be people falling down, coming under conviction. Why? Because that's what Jesus said he would do. The Holy Spirit will come and convict the world of sin, of righteousness and judgment. You and I can't do that. We can tell people, we can be his witness, but we cannot convict them. You cannot convict any person. I always say this, you know, Jesus himself couldn't change that rich guy's mind. No matter how much he loved him, he said to him, all you're going to do now is sell your possessions and come and join me and follow me. And the guy walked away and Jesus' heart was broken. But not even the creator of the universe could change that man's mind. Because he has free choice. But the Holy Spirit will convict them. The Holy Spirit's not going to make them Christians. He's not going to make them accept, but he will convict them. And that is why when you see when a person comes to Christ, they're often broken. They cry. They sometimes don't know why they cry. They just cry because the Holy Spirit has convicted them. And he's done the work. And so they become a new creation in him. And I pray that the Lord will help us that we understand this. You understand the power of his work. Understand what it is the Holy Spirit wants to do for you and for me and for all of us as individuals. It's not about what happens afterwards. It's not about what manifestations are we going to see. The greatest manifestation of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit will be this. People will be drawn to Jesus like never before. There'll be a passion for Jesus like never before. And people that accept him in their lives and have the baptism of the Holy Spirit in their lives, it'll be ignited within them to worship him. You know, I remember years ago when I went for prayer and I didn't even understand this baptism of the Holy Spirit. The Lord had to deal with me and tell me because I was saved. You know, I knew I was saved. I was a child of God. And the Lord spoke to me while I was praying one day and said, I need to go and see our local pastor who was there in Botswana. And I need to get him to pray for me because he showed me. He says, you're saved, but there's something else you need. And I understood it to be the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I didn't have an idea what it was all about. But in obedience, I said, Lord, I'll go. I'll get this. I'm sure it's going to be great. So I went, and I remember when he prayed for me, laid hands on me, that I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And that's what we see in the Old Testament as well. They received it by laying on of hands. Why? Because it's the Spirit of God that's been imparted. So he came and he laid hands on me to receive this baptism of the Holy Spirit. And I was really excited. And then I was really disappointed. It was like I got up and I thought, hey, nothing, no fire. Still exactly the same. I walked out there and I thought, what's that all about? And I was really disappointed and I drove home. And as I was driving home, they stopped me at a roadblock and there was this guy coming out with his gun and get out the car, very friendly. You know, open your boot. They had this all over in Botswana. I looked at this guy. Man, did I have a love for this guy. I thought, you know what, you can keep me here all night. All I'm going to do is just pray for you, man. And I just looked at this guy and I had this compassion for him. I just knew he was. And where did that come from? You know, when I came to that guy, the same guy stopped me. I thought, you're just wasting my time. Come on, get a move on. I've got an important prayer to go to. Okay, and the next thing, I've changed. Because something of Jesus was drawn to something of Jesus I never knew. I went back home. I remember everything changed. The way I did things, everything that was so important to me suddenly wasn't. This word of God became the most important thing of my life. And I remember reading through it. I could never get enough. And it would be amazing as I read the words of God and I couldn't understand. And I would form a question in my heart. And before I could complete the question, he would give me the answer. That's exactly what he said he will do. He will teach you. The Holy Spirit will teach you. He will teach you. You don't know the word of God. Tell you what. Get filled with the Holy Spirit. Get the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You're going to have a time of your life in the Word of God as He opens it up to you and reveals it to you. And it'll always draw you so close to Jesus like you've never been. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. That's why He said to them, wait. Wait till you receive it. Man, I don't know what would have happened if they'd run ahead of their times. I'm pretty sure Peter would have made a mess of it. I'm pretty sure they would have said some foolish stuff and done some foolish things. But once they received the power of the Holy Spirit, it all changed. And that's what it's all about. It's nothing about any other manifestation or funny thing that we do or all sorts of things that's been happening throughout the ages, as we know. You know, things that have come and gone and different fads, if you were, that supposedly as the Holy Spirit has died away. It's gone. It doesn't exist anymore because it never was. If ever you doubt, is this the work of the Holy Spirit? It probably isn't. But you will know when that happens in your life. And I pray, that is my prayer for each and every one of us, that we come to that point in life where the Holy Spirit will be poured out upon you and upon me and upon every single one of us. And does it just happen once and that's it? No. God can do it over and over and over again. Every time you needed to do something, you ask Him, Lord, may Your Holy Spirit come upon me now. You need strength, He'll give you strength. You need wisdom, He will give you wisdom. And sometimes He has to give you strength to even be quiet. Never be shocking. But let Him do it, let Him be, and let Him show you who Jesus really is. Amen. I trust that blesses you this morning. Amen. Dave and Jill, if it's